All right, folks, we're back. Water Day at the Capitol.
Yes, this is episode number 5, Water Day at the Capitol.
Yes, sir. It's been a good day. Got really lots of good info.
But we've seen opposing sides to
water.
We have. I like that. I like how you get both sides of the spectrum there.
Pretty much Western Oklahoma.
Versus Eastern, almost. Yeah,
right.
Felt like,
yeah. Right.
The two people that we spoke with, Newton and Murdoch, that had opposing water, they were both similar. They were both from
the West.
Yeah.
Yes.
So they were opposing, but both from the West. So
right.
It's interesting to see everybody's view of water.
Happens. We have another guest in house now, Representative Wallace, Appropriations Chair. Thank you for coming, joining us.
My privilege. Thank you for having me.
I want to give out a special thanks to Representative Wallace. He authored a resolution that basically declared our community, Hochtown, is a tight-knit community living in an area, which helped us reach our goal of incorporating here a couple of years ago. So appreciate
recognized
that.
Recognized Hochtown as a community and established basically settlement from a long time ago and was displaced by the lake and truly a community and a township.
It made sense, didn't it?
It did.
well, I appreciate that. Thank you.
And those efforts are now seeing growth of as a small town of Hochtown.
It's
an incorporated town. So yep. I love that. The growth is beautiful.
We still need lots of help. We got lots of work to do infrastructure wise. Representative Wallace, as the appropriations chair, how do we get our hands on some of those appropriations?
That's a great way to put it.
Well, in ties to water, I would say there was a lot of money that was appropriated out of the ARPA, American Rescue Plan funds, sent to the Water Resource Board for infrastructure improvements. Might have missed those opportunities, but maybe your rural water district perhaps were able to capitalize. And then currently right now, there's been a lot of bills this session about water. So currently there was a proposal that Senator Bullard put out, 125 mil for water projects ongoing, kind of building on where we started at with ARPA funds from last year as well. That bill did not pass through the process of the deadlines for committee and floor. However, it is in the Senate's resolution and there's ongoing discussions about funding the 125 mil for water programs. Just kind of the discussion about should that be at the Water Resource Board or should that be at DEQ. Did have a meeting this morning with the Water Resource Board. If you look at their current budget request, half a dozen times they mentioned needing more staff, more field presence, more community engagement, but really understaffed and underfunded for their regulatory obligations that they're currently overseeing. So we'll continue to negotiate on that and use discernment of where that program should be housed and how many dollars additional going in there. But there's always more water needs than we have resources.
Right. Well, it's my understanding that some of the ARPA funding that was kind of, I guess, dedicated to certain projects and then those projects did not happen. So that money comes back to the state for redistribution. Is that how that worked or am I missing something?
Well, currently they have to do quarterly reports stating where each project's at to make sure that it's going to hit the window, which we hit the one for December of 24, making sure we had the money obligated or committed to projects. The real timeline now is to make sure that the money that has been appropriated and is in the agencies, and we're talking about water now, but there's DHS has funding, Commerce has funding, and then, of course, the Water Resource Board, to make sure those projects are going to be completed and the money spent by 2026, December 31st. So that's the reports that are coming back. We continue to evaluate that. We'll probably have a joint ARPA meeting here in the next week or two to talk about some of those reports, where certain agencies are on different projects to make sure that we're going to hit the timeline.
The ARPA funds, is that the only, I guess, major federal spending bill, or are there more funds out there outside of those?
There definitely is. There's always federal dollars rolling into the states or the agencies, even, say, higher ed. Currently, right now, in the Water Resource Board budget request, they had $12.7 million to maximize or pull down more federal dollars. In the $125 million for the program that I mentioned earlier that Bullard had authored, they were wanting to pull off $50 million of that for increased federal match enhancements, then have the other $75 million set up to go to basically three different buckets based on community sizes. And so those details are still being worked out. But, yeah, there is always federal funds that we can tap into, but most of them do have a requirement of a match. A lot of the water projects, even at conservation for dams, high hazard dams, stuff like that, state has to have 25 to 35% of the match, and then the federal will have 75 to 65%.
Okay. So when the original ARPA funds were distributed to the state, then the state would decide where those funds went to. But there were certain stipulations. They could only be spent on certain projects, I guess, certain.
Right. The feds had federal guidance or regulations or guidelines for the use of the money. Here in Oklahoma, we created the Joint Committee. Within that committee, we had multiple working groups. We allotted a certain amount of money for each group. They vetted the projects that came in through the portal. Number one, checking to make sure that they met the federal requirements or guidelines and funds could be used for those type of projects. Then they were basically assorted out, sent back through to each of the working groups. There was a scoring, a rubrics that cube type thing that everybody looked at, a matrix, priorities as far as the legislature. And so we set all that out in the Joint Committee when we adopted our rules and our goals, which aligned with the federal requirements and use of the money as well. So a lot of time and effort went into getting the committee and the work groups all set up to make sure that the funds that we were allocating would meet the federal requirements and guidelines and uses for the funds. Then the working groups, you know, vetted all the projects and decided which ones to bring to the Joint Committee. Once the Joint Committee heard something and recommended it to the full legislature, there was a bill, either House or Senate bill, that had to be heard in both chambers and then sent to the governor either for her signature, or if we're still in session after 5 days, if the executive doesn't sign it, it becomes law.
Right.
However, if we're not in session for 5 days after we send him something, he can pocket veto that stuff and it doesn't become law with or without a signature.
Right. We've heard that pocket
veto.
Yeah,
pocket veto. We just heard that a little bit ago.
Several times today. So we are learning something here today.
Yes.
Are there any other programs or things going on right now in the state outside of water? I know today's Water Day, but we can branch out.
Well, for Ho Chi Town, let's talk about retro funds.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Rural Economic Development Transportation Fund for optimizing transportation. I know that Representative Dempsey has been a huge advocate for you. We put $200 million in that program last year. Currently, the House and the Senate has agreed as of last week to do another $200 million. I think I said $200 million in that program. So there is a bill that we're going to run that is going to require ODOT to do a study before they continue to widen through Ho Chi Town. I think there's some of your businesses that might be impacted and actually lose their front. Perhaps for a bypass for all the truck traffic and, you know, non-tourism type traffic.
Yes, sir.
We like the term loop.
Loop.
Scenic loop.
Loop.
Scenic loop. Yes, sir.
Scenic route.
Yes,
sir. Not a bypass. We're not bypassing. We're
right.
Just yeah. Scenic
loop. 5 mile median.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Representative Dempsey.
Two mile median.
Is a huge advocate for you on that. You guys know that. I don't have to joking around at the moment, but which will require for ODOT to kind of pause at the moment, do the study, figure out what it's going to cost for the scenic loop.
But that to me seems like a responsible step, being, you know, just due to the fact that we
some
have
due diligence.
What did you say? Measure twice, cut once.
That was blue. But yeah absolutely.
I mean, when you're dealing with something that's this big and has this much impact on the state, that could be messed up so easily if it's done wrong.
Right.
You would think that it would be a fairly easy decision to do those studies.
Well, there's been a lot of requests, demand, and push to make sure that we get ODOT funds down there and widen the road, mm-hmm. get access.
True.
And I believe that was, you know, in the works and was moving forward. And then as we heard more information about, hey, this might wipe out some of the businesses, you need to get your utilities in as well as community or township.
That's correct.
So we need to, you know, push pause for just a second, reevaluate, and make sure that the best use of the funds will be either a loop or the full widening. But I think the impact on the businesses currently there would be an offset that we do not want to lose.
Yes, and I'm glad you said that, because that, in a lot of the conversations and meetings I've been in as a Ho Chi Town representative. It's all about the traffic. What, you know, we need this for the traffic.
Right.
When yes,
which is very true.
That's true.
We also need
you need the right traffic. I've been down there and actually been behind a log truck wreck.
Right.
Right there north of town.
Exactly.
Right in front of distillery there.
Yep.
When that happens, everything's backed up and you can't get in or out. But, that traffic really doesn't need to be going through downtown Main Street of Hoachetown.
I completely agree.
Anyway.
Well, that's good to hear.
Absolutely.
Just making sure we have the best plan in place before we move forward.
And you said that. I want to say that you said that like a year and a half ago on this podcast. As long as we just get all the details and know what's best for our area, both traffic and pedestrian-wise. Because you forget about the pedestrians a lot of the time when you're thinking about just moving traffic.
Right.
And I'm with you. I think if the through traffic, the long-haul traffic, the trucks can be moved out of that area and they can still get to where they're going without having to go through downtown, that would relieve a lot of the traffic stress that we do suffer from.
And it would be a benefit for those logging companies or the long-haul trucks, everything else coming in and out from Texas and into Oklahoma or just even passing through. For them not to have slowed down, safety factors as well, the impediments, it's just a better deal all the way around.
Yeah, and safety being one of the major concerns. It's just a safer way, I think, to go about the whole project. When are you going to come back, make it down to Hoachetown and visit?
We have an event planned down there this summer. I think it's going to be in July 11th through the 12th, 13th, 14th. I plan on being in town.
Okay,
we're good. Outstanding.
So big fundraiser for Sportsman's Fund Inc. And then a lot of members will be there. Going to have entertainment as well. Have a good time. Take a day or two to enjoy the lake also.
But you guys picked a good place.
Absolutely.
Yep. Yes, sir.
And as far as water, you said there were some people that didn't like good water. Without water, what do you have?
No, you don't have whiskey. That's for sure.
You don't have that. You don't have life. You got to have water. But you guys opened up with that with somebody that was, disagreement on water. I was just curious what it was.
Yeah.
The disagreement was?
Yeah.
That the bill, Newton's bill, it seemed like Murdoch didn't see it exactly how Newton did.
So that was the irrigators and metering.
The metering.
Yes.
I should have
been more clear.
Which it's been my experience that pretty much all of Western Oklahoma wants no part of metering. And
they definitely want water and need it.
And they want water. And exactly. And then, you got your eastern side where we've got water. And we just want
to make sure we can keep what we got.
Well, but Newton is from Enid. That's northwest, north central.
That's true.
So
somewhere in the middle there.
I think there's a difference between irrigation from well water versus reservoir water as well. So I think that's another topic that hadn't really been touched on, but you'll find different views on that as well, surface water versus groundwater.
Oh, yeah, we got educated on some of that.
Yes, we did, and aquifers and all. Yeah, absolutely.
We're all surface water.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much again for coming. I didn't want to cut you off there. Sorry.
No, it's my pleasure. Thank you so much for allowing me to come in and share some time with you. Love what you guys are doing. Love Hoachetown, love the lake, love everything about it. And if I can be a resource, just let me know.
Thank you so much. Appreciate your time.
Appreciate you. Have a great day.